Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Welcome to another program. My name is TJ Ryan. He's back once again. He was on earlier. We talked about his book. His name is Jack Alice. He's from Okauchee Lake, Wisconsin. How are you doing, Jack? Are you there?
I'm doing great. I had my mute on there, but okay. I'm doing great. How are you doing, TJ?
I am doing fabulous. Thanks for coming back on the program.
Well, you're welcome. It's an honor to be here.
So you have you've been plugging along. What have you been doing since the last time we talked?
Well, my latest thing is I'm writing my next book, which is entitled 2012 and the Shift, Transforming Challenges into Blessings, and this is going to be nonfiction. I took a lot of heat for writing a work of fiction because a lot of people don't want to talk to me, and they don't take fiction seriously, which I think is really silly, but they just think, you know, it's make-believe or something like that. So I got a lot of advice from a lot of people saying, you know, write another book, and make it nonfiction. So that's what I'm doing. It's basically, you know, all the same information about 2012 and the shift and transforming challenges into blessings, but it's just in nonfiction form as opposed to fiction form.
Didn't you call it faction? Wasn't that what you called it?
I think I have referred to it. Actually, well, somebody who reviewed my book called it faction,
okay.
Which I love that. And I'm also doing a DVD. And I'm planning on releasing them both at about the same time, and they're both going to have the same title, 2012 and the Shift, Transforming Challenges into Blessings. And it's just going to be covering everything that we need to cover regarding this extremely important topic.
Why do you feel that 2012, December 21st, or around that time period is so important? What is going on with the shift?
Well, because there's an opportunity here to completely change the world. How's that for something that's important?
That sounds pretty big. So what is going on? Let's just pretend I don't have a clue about any of this. Explain this to me.
Let me give you the brief snapshot of the shift and some essentials as far as what people really need to know here. what does the shift refer to? And essentially, we're talking about in the context of 2012 and the shift. And the specific date is December 21st, 2012, which was the day that the Mayan calendar ended. And what people really need to know about the shift is this. My primary source of information here is, I get my information from a lot of different sources, but really the primary one is what I refer to as the prophecies. And what I mean by the prophecies are prophecies from ancient indigenous cultures spanning the globe, of which the Mayans were one.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also hundreds, dare I say thousands of others in every country on the planet, other indigenous cultures who also had prophecies regarding the same time and who virtually all of them said just about exactly the same thing. And one of the reasons that people get so bent out of shape over the Mayan calendar is because there was a specific calendar that ended on that date. And for some reason, the Mayans are very important, don't get me wrong, but for some reason, people get it into their heads that the Mayan part of this is more important than all the other parts. And it isn't. They're all virtually the same, and they're all virtually saying the same thing. This includes the Hopis in the southwest U.S. and the Egyptians and all kinds of ancient indigenous cultures from all over the planet.
Hmm.
And what they told us was, they told us that this was an exceedingly important time, this time in the history of our planet. And it was an exceedingly important time because in this time there would be a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. I'm just going to say that again because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields.
All right.
Now, this is something that's part of a natural cycle. This is part of a 26,000-year cycle
mm-hmm.
That the Earth experiences as it travels on its journey through the galaxy.
All right.
And these are things that were well understood and prophesied by all these ancient indigenous cultures. One of the reasons was because they were here the last time this happened. One of the misconceptions about our world comes from mainstream history, traditional history, which tells us that, you know, people have only been on this planet for 6,000 years. Well, that just ain't true,
mm-hmm.
because there were many of these indigenous folks who were around 26,000 years ago, and there were also some other beings around 26,000 years ago also. And they were also here 26,000 years before that and 26,000 years before that.
So when you say other beings, what do you mean by other beings?
Other beings from other planets, from other worlds. So extraterrestrials arrived on the planet Earth way before what passes as official history, and they formed numerous very advanced civilizations. Two of which we actually have names for. One of which was called Atlantis, and another one before that was called Lemuria,
okay.
And many others also. And this is one of the many things that traditional history kind of glosses over and covers up, because traditional history and the mainstream system has a profound investment in keeping the truth from us, we the people.
And why do they do that?
Pardon me?
Why would they do that?
To keep us cut off from the true source of our power. You know, if we're cut off from these ancient sources of very important knowledge, many of which are spiritual, it cuts us off from the true source of our
it
power.
It almost enslaves us a little bit.
Yes, for lack of a better word, absolutely. But to continue with the shift, so this involves a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields, which encompassed in this is the opportunity. And here's where the Mayans were right on and what they were prophesizing, but virtually all the other indigenous prophecies said the same thing. What they said was that this was an opportunity that comes along every 26,000 years or so for the collapsing of one world, an old world, a dying world, and for the birth of a new world or a new paradigm from its ashes to replace it. So we're talking about a time in which one world dies, in which another world is born to replace it. And I emphasize that there is an opportunity for this, because this is not going to happen just all by itself. The opportunity is there. This is entirely a spiritual opportunity. This is the realm in which this is going to happen. But it's not going to happen all by itself. It's basically up to us, the human beings of the planet Earth, to make it happen. So that's what the shift is in a nutshell. And may I go into just a couple of other things that are really important
to
kind of tack onto this in terms of getting all of our basics out of the way here. The other thing that people really need to be aware of in this context is the Mayan prophecies or the Mayan calendar ending on December 21st, 2012 was really the only prophecy that really gets us kind of stuck to a particular date. Virtually all the other prophecies, as well as the Mayans also, if you look at it closely and if you interpret it properly, were telling us that this was not about a particular date, a particular time, you know, where all of this was going to happen all at once. Virtually all of the prophecies, and also there's a lot of information from science that also confirms this, tells us that the shift we're talking about is a gradual process. It's not something that just happens all at once, but it's more of a gradual process. And it's a gradual process that happens in a window of time around December 21st, 2012. So it's a gradual process, and it happens in a window of time as opposed to all at one moment. One thing, TJ, that we also know for certain, as far as I'm concerned, I know it for certain, is that then it's becoming more and more apparent just on the basis of just observations that we make about our world today. And that is that this process, this shift we're talking about, has already started. We're in the midst of it. It started. It's going to intensify, and it's going to the energies that we're experiencing, and these shifting energies. And specifically, the shifting energies refer to a shifting from lower frequency energy to higher frequency energy. And we're going to be continuing to feel this, and we're going to be continuing to feel it at an accelerating rate.
So how does it affect us?
Oh, it affects us in so many ways. One way, the most obvious way that it affects us is on the basis of our experience of it. We can feel these things. Not only can we look at the world and we can say, wow, you know, things are really changing, but we can also experience this. We can experience it subjectively with our feelings. And at least those of us who are, in order to do this, it's first of all, it's necessary to be plugged into these energies. It's necessary to be resonating with them. But we can feel it. We can feel that there's something changing about our world. It seems like time itself is speeding up, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though everything in our world is intensifying, is speeding up. This has been referred to as the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the more obvious ways that we know it's happening. But we also know it's happening on a wide variety of other ways. So there's some real specific scientific data, which tends to indicate also that the shifting energy has already it's already started shifting. It's already happening, and we have evidence from that as far as our observations about the Earth's electromagnetic fields, We have observations about that from global warming, which is an aspect of these higher frequency energy fields. And there are several others also, which tell us on a real, and a lot of this is old science too, this isn't new, this isn't new science, this is old science, that tells us that the shifting is already underway.
It's already happening. Now we're going to talk about, we got to take a break in just a moment. What is your website real quick, if you could, Jack?
Website, www.jackallis.com, JACKALLIS.com.
Okay.
And anything people need to know about me, about my books, about my DVDs, it's all on the website, and I encourage people to go there and go ahead and email me, call me, whatever you want. I'm not one of those, you know, snobs who doesn't pick up the phone and thinks I'm more important than everybody else.
He answered the phone for me, so that tells you something right there, right? We'll be back in just a moment with Jack Allis.
Hi, everybody. This is Jack Allis. I'm on the program Out There, hosted by the host with the most, T.J. Ryan. And I want to invite everybody to visit my website and check out my novel, which is entitled Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. And that's what our interview was about here today, and that's what that's basically what my message is for folks, and that is that we have a tremendous opportunity at this point to create an entirely new world of light and spirit, and Infinity's Flower will not only discuss how we can do that, but what this new world of light and spirit will look like and what we'll all need to do to get there. So go to my website and check it out, www.jackallis.com, JACKALLIS.com, and continue to listen in to Mr. T.J. Ryan, who's doing a wonderful job on this program Out There. Thanks a lot.
It's Out There, Out There, Out There, Out
There. Back and Out There, my guest, Jack Allis. He's from a place called Okauchee Lake. Now, where's that located exactly, Jack?
Yeah, I'm about 40 miles west of Milwaukee.
Okay.
In a little area called Lake Country. There's a lot of little lakes around here where they're like boating country.
So it's kind of a remote area?
Well, sort of. It used to be rural, but like with every city in this country right now, the suburbs are, you know, spreading like a disease, and they're making their way out here too. So it's not quite as remote as it used to be, but it's still country enough to please me.
So you're pretty happy where you're at. Now, we were talking about the shift, obviously, that's coming forward. You wrote the book that was called Infinity's Flower, which we talked about last time, The Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages, which was Faction. And now you have another book coming out. But also, I wanted to ask you, because we kind of touched on this before, what is this new paradigm going to be like? What is it going to look like? What are we expecting?
Well, okay, in doing that, let me talk a little bit about the old paradigm, too, because it's helpful to in understanding the new paradigm. It's also helpful to understand the old paradigm in order to understand the new paradigm.
Okay.
The old paradigm is the paradigm we're currently in. It's the paradigm that that has been created by Western civilization over the last, 6,000 years or so. This is what we refer to the old paradigm or the mainstream system or, you know, just the way things have been for a long time. And the old paradigm is clearly collapsing, and as it must. And the reason that it's necessary and why it's inevitable for the old paradigm to collapse. And this is again something that indigenous folks like the Native Americans have been telling us for hundreds of years. They're saying there's no way your culture can survive because it's essentially non-sustainable. And what they meant by non-sustainable was it's built upon a very faulty, rotten foundation that they won't ever be able to hold up. The foundation of the old paradigm is built basically on two basic things. Thing number one, it's built upon the foundation of matter or material things. Mm-hmm. The old paradigm is all about stuff. It's all about material stuff in third-dimensional, hard, stuff-related reality. And, you know, that's translated into how much stuff you have and how big a house you have and how many cars and how much money and how much industrial progress and all those material things.
Mm-hmm.
The other foundation of the old paradigm is that old bugaboo that many of us struggle with on a personal level, and that is control.
Mm-hmm.
The old paradigm is all about control. And specifically here, we're talking about controlling the forces of nature for the purpose of a material outcome, such as, you know, what your economy produces or whatever. So it's all about controlling the forces of nature as opposed to harmonizing with the forces of nature, being in a state of balance with the forces of nature, again, as all of our indigenous cultures and the Native Americans were. As you know, as far as their relationship with nature was one, A, in which they revered nature, and they lived very closely, and they lived very in tune with it, so that you know, nature was their, it was their brother, it was their sister, and whatever they took from nature, they always gave back, and they endeavored to live in a state of harmony and balance with it, as opposed to imbalance and domination, which is what the old paradigm is all about.
Let me ask you this now. You hear a lot about these ancient cultures that did some pretty strange things, you know, as far as human sacrificing. Is there any truth to any of that, or is some of that just made up?
No, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is some truth to some of it, and I'm sure a lot of it is bogus, like so much of our you know, history is bogus. But I'm sure some of it is true. And you know, TJ, to tell you the truth, that's one of those areas that I just really just choose not to really delve into a whole lot, because I really think it could be too much of a distraction. What I choose to focus on, you know, when I'm studying you know, ancient cultures or whatever, is I just and first of all, in my studies of it, I don't run into that stuff very often. So I think maybe I'm dealing with sources that just don't deal with it or aren't interested in it or whatever. But so my read on that is that there's a good chance that a lot of that stuff may have happened, but you know, I just choose not to, you know, not to pursue.
I guess my point on it was, if it's a more advanced culture, at least spiritually, more connected to the planet, why are they burning up people, you know, and doing stuff like that?
Well, I think we run the risk of maybe, you know, overgeneralizing to the point where we can't really make sense out of what we're talking about. Certainly, that may have happened in isolated instances here and there, but as far as making a broad generalization to say that it happened, you know, with all of them,
absolutely.
You know, I don't, my own personal knowledge of that is just not enough to go into it. There may have been some of that there, but for us to say it was pervasive throughout all these cultures is an unfair thing to say. And certainly there are a lot of these cultures that I know of for which, you know, none of that existed.
You know, and I also, you know, this is my own personal feeling, and we might as well share what we feel, you know. I think a lot of it was made up to keep us from fighting.
I think a lot of it was made up, and I think also a lot of that, there's a couple of other explanations for it. A lot of what they did also, they learned from Western man. I mean, you know, the Native Americans got all their guns from Western man and, you know, started shooting because of Western man, and they got infected by all of Western man's diseases with a lot of the, you know, the philosophical aspects of it. So I think that certainly also played a part in it. So, but I think for me, that's a topic that's an aspect of the topic that's just a bit too tangential and kind of gets us off track.
So, continuing with this new paradigm, what are we expecting with this?
Okay, well, we covered the old paradigm. So, what's the new paradigm? If what we just covered is the old paradigm, what then is the new paradigm? Well, the new paradigm is based upon a completely different foundation than the old paradigm. It's basically based upon the antithesis of the old paradigm. Because the old paradigm is built upon the foundation of matter and upon the foundation of control to the exclusion of spirituality and to the exclusion of higher consciousness. And our new paradigm is going to be a paradigm or a world which is going to be based fundamentally upon our spirituality and upon our consciousness. That's going to be the basis of it. And whatever, you know, material things come along or whatever will simply be an offshoot of that. And as far as creating the new world is concerned and creating the new paradigm is concerned, what people really need to hear about this also is we are talking about a completely different world. As in, a lot of people misinterpret this to think that what the new paradigm has got something to do with Obama, or it's got something to do with, you know, the good guy liberal Democrats in the Congress are going to make all these wonderful changes, and they're going to change the world, and they're going to do it, you know, with the mainstream political system and that kind of. It has nothing to do with that sort of thing. We are talking about a completely different world, and we're talking about a world that is dimensionally different. It's talking about a world that is not that doesn't have as its basis the materialism or the matter that is so characteristic of the old paradigm. We're talking about a completely different world, a world of light, a world of spirit, a world of energy. Now we get into a lot of other questions about, you know, how we get there and you know, what exactly this consists of. But what people do need to know is that this is a completely different world, and the way that we access this world, the way that we create this world, is with the power of our higher consciousness and spirituality. So energetically, this is going to be a very, very different world, and in order for us to get there, or in order for us to create this world, we as human beings also are going to have to change.
We're going to have to change starting with the way we feel about things.
We're going to have to change starting with focusing primarily upon what I refer to as our spiritual ascension.
Now, let me just ask you this, and I don't mean to get you off track, but what if we don't? Will we remain in an old paradigm? Will there be two of them?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer to that question. I know of a lot of different possibilities. If we don't succeed at this, there's a number of different things that could happen. One thing that could happen is it could mean the end of the human race. Is one thing that could happen. Because certainly, if we keep going in the direction we're going in, the human race at this point is destroying the environment that it needs to survive. And there will come a time, and we're getting very, very close to that time where the human race just is not going to be able to pull this off anymore. Mm. So that's one possible outcome. And I've also heard as far as for those people, for example, who choose, you know, not to get involved, who choose to continue to cling to the old paradigm, you know, who don't align themselves with these new paradigm energies and everything I'm talking about. One of the things I was told was that for those people, a lot of them could be in for a pretty rough ride, because basically they're clinging to a lot of very destructive energies, and you know, under those circumstances, a lot of them may have a very tough time, and a lot of them may not even make it. I don't like saying that, but that's just simply the
they
way
may not exist in their physical form anymore, but they'll still be around, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of them might let's not beat around the bush here. A lot of them might die.
Right, they might die, but their energy, their essence, be somewhere, right?
Well, that's always the case. Sure. Sure.
We're going to take another break. Jack Ellis is on the phone today, and we're talking about the shift. And we'll continue with this conversation a bit more in just a moment.
Out there.
Well, coming up next week, I'm going to talk to Peg Franklin, and we're going to talk about her website, heartradiant.com, and also the life field technique. What does that mean? And universal white time. No idea what those things were, but I saw an email and told me a little bit about Peg, and I checked out her site, and I sent her an email back, and she was interested in talking with me. So, and she seems, again, like any guest I'm going to bring on here, anybody that's peddling something negative or violent, they wouldn't be on the show. But somebody that is peddling love, if you want to call it that, I'm willing to listen. So that'll be my guest next week, Peg Franklin from Belmont, Michigan. And we'll find out what exactly that is, because I never, you know, I've heard a lot of these things, but this person might put it this way, and this person might put it that way. So maybe they all kind of come together. I'm not sure, but I keep looking into things. We hope you enjoy the show, and if you have any questions, feel free to email me at tj2@up.net. Otherwise, if somebody gave you this show as a download and you're not sure where it originates, all you do is type in, and don't type in the W's, outthere.podbean.com. And we appreciate your comments, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Twitchell, author of The UFO Jesus Connection, and you're listening to Out There.
Jack Ellis is talking about the shift. If some of this is a little bit surprising, well, I guess we got to get right to the bones of it. So we're going to make this shift, you're saying, somewhere. It doesn't, not exactly December 21st, is it? Could be any time, right?
Well, it's like I said before, it's happening. It's happening now. We're already in the process of it.
And so
it's happening.
You were going to continue on that thought.
Well, I just want to say one other thing about it. You said, you know, what happens if we don't get this right, and what happens to those people who don't get it right? Another one of the things that I've heard is that this might be approached from a reincarnational point of view, in terms of those people who, you know, continue to cling to the old paradigm energies, that they will reincarnate in a world that is very, you know, earth-like, and they'll basically be in a position of having to do it again and having to, you know, get it right this time, which very often is how reincarnation and other lifetimes work. You know, if you don't get it right in one lifetime, you'll come back and you'll have another lifetime to do it in. And some people spin around for all of their lifetimes and never manage to get it right.
Still can't get it right. Hope that's not the case. Now, we were going to also go down a path of, because there's a lot of fear associated with this too, right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things, which makes sense, does it not, in terms of when we're talking about transformation of this magnitude, I mean, it makes sense that people would be, that people could be triggered to experience some fear in relationship to that. But let's cover that part of this, TJ, because this is really an important part of this. And I know that very often when I talk about this, it does, you know, trigger people into feelings of fear and anxiety and hopelessness and those sorts of things. That is never, ever my intent. My intent is not to do that. But I think very often people become afraid because what they're primarily afraid of is they're afraid of losing what it is that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, people have a real investment in the old paradigm and in their houses and in their you know, their money and all that kind of stuff. And when people are told, you know, that the, you know, one world's going to change and there's an opportunity to create an entirely new one, that frightens people because they like the old world. You know, they want to stay in the old world and they want the old world to work. So, you know, it makes sense that people would be frightened under those circumstances. But as far as, first of all, what people need to know about fear is that it's totally normal and okay, you know, for people to feel a certain amount of fear in relationship to something like this. You know, that's what one of the purposes of emotions like fear is. You know, fear is there for a reason. And, you know, it's necessary for us, you know, fear is there for a very important adaptive, you know, biological reason. You know, it exists for a reason. It's up to us to feel our fear and to use it, you know, in ways that are productive. What we don't want to do with our fear is we don't want to get stuck in it. And we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to get stuck in cycles of what we call chronic fear, in which we're just afraid all the time. And if we don't know what we're afraid of, we'll invent something to be afraid of, which is the way it works, for most people. So well, we want to go ahead and feel your fear. It's fine, but just don't get stuck in it. And know that anytime you're feeling fear, it's necessary for you to resolve it and disengage from it, and to you know, solve whatever it is that's causing the fear to begin with. And let me give you a mantra, TJ, in regards to this. And it's one of the people come away from hearing me talk about this with one thing and with only one thing. This is a very important mantra for people to be aware of, because in this mantra, people can see not only what is the source of their protection. You know, we're dealing with a time where there's two very big things going on here. Big thing number one is we're talking about a time of massive paradigm shift. Another part about the shift that we didn't talk about as much, which is part of these shifting energy fields that I was talking about. We're also talking about a time of colossal Earth changes. One of the things that's often hypothesized that we're due for is a shifting of the Earth's north-south electromagnetic poles. And again, there's a lot of scientific evidence for that, and it may sound kind of crazy and extreme, but there's a lot of scientific evidence for it, and you know, there is a certainty that does happen at some point, you know, in Earth's geological history. So we're dealing with paradigm shifts. We're dealing with massive Earth changes. So the mantra I'm going to give here is one in which people can understand what the source of their protection is in the face of these things.
Good. Yeah, that's good to know.
As well as what the source of their power is in the face of these things. And it's going to sound really simple, but it always comes back to this. Always. And the stuff I talked about always comes back to very simple and basic things. Here's the mantra.
Okay.
The primary source of our protection in these times of monumental paradigm shifts and colossal Earth changes, and the primary source of our power to create the new world of light and spirit, is our higher consciousness and our spirituality. So if people are feeling afraid, and that is where the refuge from fear is in the arena of our higher consciousness and spirituality. And when you think about it for a minute, TJ, spiritual people, truly, genuinely spiritual people, people who are really plugged into their spirituality and for whom it's something that, you know, really operates in their life,
mm-hmm.
these are people, when we are properly aligned and plugged into our spirituality, there is never, ever anything to fear, ever. And one of the things that I've learned about myself is whenever I am experiencing fear in regards to things that are, you know, just seem like the, when it seems like my fear is getting a little bit out of proportion. For example, there were some very intense rains here in Wisconsin about a year and a half ago, at the beginning not of this summer, but of the summer before last. Flood end of the world flood level quality types of rains.
Yes,
I noticed that I was feeling a lot of fear. I was saying to myself, you know, is this it? Is it happening? Is it shift time? You know, is this part of it? And I noticed myself getting inordinately afraid in terms of now's the time, and we got to start thinking about building boats, and you know, where are we going to go from here, kind of thing. What that told me about myself when I was feeling fear of that magnitude, what it told me is that my spirituality had kind of gotten a little bit out of whack, it had gotten a bit misaligned. And it just simply is a question of me then getting my spirituality back in alignment. And once that happens, the fear goes away. Because once we have a connection with the divine spirit of a living universe, which is what our spirituality is all about, one of the primary things we learn is that that is all that we need. And when we have that connection with spirit, when we have that connection with the earth, we learn that there's never anything to fear, because the divine spirit and the spirit of Mother Earth will take care of us.
We will be provided for.
We will be provided
and even if,
for.
You know,
so once we have those connections, even though we lose everything we could possibly lose in the material world, we're going to be fine, you know, on the spiritual, in the spiritual aspect of this, in the spiritual dimension of all this.
You know how I get over fear? What's that?
Breathe?
You know, I usually say, what's the worst that could happen?
Okay.
What's the worst? I'm going to go on regardless, right?
But in your answering that question, what's the worst that could happen? My guess would be if when you answer that, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is my physical body could die.
Exactly.
But once you're, you know, plugged into your spirituality, you're not even afraid of that.
My essence will go on.
Really? Really?
And I'm going to haunt those people in the new paradigm.
Well, one of my favorite quotes that encapsulates this really nicely came from Muhammad Ali back when, in the old days when he was, you know, the young cocky fighter who was, you know, the world champion, and when they came after him for the draft and basically, you know, stripped him of his title and took all his money and basically, you know, he went from, you know, the penthouse to the outhouse in a very short period of time, basically lost just about everything. One of the things he said during that period of time was, he said, you can take everything from me, you can throw me down so I hit rock bottom, you can take all my material goods, you can throw my butt in jail, you can't ever touch my spirit. And that's the key to it. That's the key to it.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else real briefly that you want to mention, Jack? We got about a minute.
About a minute. Okay. Well, this is not doomsday. There is a tremendous opportunity here to create the new world of light and spirit. And when people say, well, how? What do I do? It all starts in the mind, heart, and spirit of each and every one of us. It all starts there. And if we could all get on that track and get on that path, you know, I can guarantee that we would all be just fine.
All right.
And may I give my website one last time?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
www.jackallis.com. Please go there. It's a lot of fun. I got a lot of videos and pictures and audios. And there's even an interview there with me and TJ Ryan of Out There from the Uper Peninsula.
That should be award-winning alone right there. Jack Allis from Okauchee Lake, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, TJ. It's always fun to be here.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
So my energy's going to go on, even if I don't believe in this, right?
Well, that's always the case.
And I'll come back and make your next paradigm hell, I'll tell you. I'll be there.
Your next paradigm, your energy cannot be destroyed. We know that for a fact.
But
neither can your consciousness. You know,
so then,
two things that are
right.
Very,
so if I don't get this, I'm just probably going to be in a state of confusion, I would think, right?
Well, when we start the next segment, let me start with what I didn't get to say here, and that has to do with one of the things that I've heard about this is that those who choose, you know, to continue to embrace the old paradigm and not the new paradigm, there may be a reincarnation aspect of this may happen, where they may reincarnate in another, you know, Earth-like world, where they'll be in a position of you know, having to do it all over again, see if they can get it right this time. And that's another, you know, possibility that I've heard about.
I don't want to go through that again.
Oh, you'll be okay.